were against us. But our God helped us to be brave and to tell you his good news. Our message was a message to encourage you. We were not trying to lie. We had no evil plan. We were not trying to trick you. But we speak the good news because God tested us and trusted us to do it. When we speak, we are not trying to please men, but we are trying to please God, who tests our hearts. You know that we never try to influence you by saying nice things about you. We were not trying to get your money. We had no selfishness to hide from you. God knows that this is true. We were not looking for praise from you or anyone else. We are apostles of Christ. When we are with you, we could have used our authority to make you do things. But we were very gentle with you. We were like a mother caring for her little children. Because we loved you, we were happy to share God's good news with you. But not only that, we were also happy to share even our own lives with you. Brothers, I know that you remember how hard we worked. We worked night and day so that we would not burden any of you while we preach God's good news to you. When we were with you, we lived in a holy and right way, without fault. You know that this is true, and God knows that this is true. You know that we treated each of you as a father treats his own children. We strengthened you, we comforted you, and we told you to live good lives for God. It is God who calls you to his glorious kingdom.
Thanks very much, Millie. We'll get the second part of that in a bit, but we're going to think about that first reading that we've had so far. Now, I don't know if you like traveling, if you like going to visit new places. Paul, who wrote this letter we've just been reading from, did lots of traveling, and he was traveling around northern Greece, which is where Thessalonica is. So as we think about this topic, how to spot true Christian preachers, we need to know a bit about what was going on in Paul's life, because he'd been travelling. Has anyone here been travelling recently? I've just got back from Wales. Had a lovely time with some sunshine and some wind and rain. Good mixture. Perhaps some of us would love to be travelling right now, but all of the restrictions have made it very difficult to do that recently, haven't they? Well, Paul was travelling in northern Greece. Can you see there? There's Thessalonica in the red circle. So there was probably some nice beaches nearby and perhaps some mountains to go walking in. Maybe there were some ancient sites he could visit. They were kind of the everyday sites for him, weren't they? But he could have visited all sorts of exciting places. But when Paul went to Thessalonica, he didn't go there for sightseeing or for a holiday. He went there to tell people about Jesus. He went traveling around lots of different cities, and each city he got to, he told people about Jesus. But he was only there, actually, for a few weeks before he was chased out of town. He had to run away from the people who didn't like him being there. And that wasn't much fun for anyone. It wasn't much fun for the people who'd just become Christians. They were thinking, oh dear, is this Paul fella a bit of a fake? Has he run away because he's not the real deal? And so Paul wrote a letter to them. So here we go. We've got a picture of a little postcard. Sometimes it's nice to write a postcard when we've been away, isn't it? And write it to Granny and Grandpa or to some friends to say, having a lovely time. And sort of things we've been up to. We've been to the beach. We've seen some sheep. Things like that. So Paul wrote a letter. He wrote a letter to the church in Thessalonica. They were quite new Christians. They'd only been Christians for, well, maybe a few weeks, a few months. It was all quite new to them. They were still working out what to believe. They were still trying to understand how Jesus could be true, how he could have risen from the dead and come back to life, how he can forgive people's sins through his death on the cross. But there were all these people around who didn't like Jesus as well. And they were saying, that Paul fella, he's a fake. He's just run away. You don't want to listen to him. So Paul has to write this letter to say, actually, no, I'm the real deal. It's not that he's out there blowing his trumpet, saying, aren't I wonderful, aren't I great, aren't I a wonderful apostle? But he's trying to reassure these people that he's real. And he helps us to figure out how to spot a real a real Christian preacher, true Christian preacher. And he gives us a couple of ways that we can tell. And the first is this. Real preachers do things God's way, even when it's difficult. Sometimes we like to do jobs quickly, don't we? We just do them sort of a little bit. So perhaps you've been asked to sweep up and to do that bit of tidying up at home. Does anyone here do a bit of sweeping at home or maybe at work here? I think we all need to teach more people how to sweep up. Maybe, of course we don't sweep, do we? We use vacuum cleaners. But maybe you're using your vacuum cleaner and you think, oh, I can't be bothered to get those bits over there. They're too far away. It'd mean unplugging the vacuum cleaner and taking it over somewhere else. And you just kind of leave those bits to one side and sort of try and do it your own way. The thing is, you end up with a mess at the end of it all. And it's a bit like that with Christian preachers. They can either do things God's way or they can do it the wrong way. And Paul says there's a number of wrong ways that he could have done it. So do you remember I was telling you the story of how Paul was traveling around? And beforehand, Paul had been to this place called Philippi. It's a lovely place, not that far from Thessalonica. And he'd met some great people there. There was Lydia, who was involved in making purple cloths, lovely purple outfits and things like that. And there were some other people. Paul got to meet the jailer there. Do you know, the jailer looks after the prison. And Paul got thrown into prison because some people in Philippi didn't like what he was saying. So Paul was in prison, and there he was in the middle of the night, and he was there with his friend, and they were singing songs. They were allowed to sing songs like we are now. Isn't it wonderful? So they were singing songs to God in the middle of the night, and there was a huge earthquake. And the guy who was looking after the prison, he got all worried because he thought the people might have escaped while the earthquake was happening. But Paul was still there. And Paul was able to share the good news of Jesus with the guy who was looking after the prison and with lots of other people in the city as well. But there were still people who didn't like Paul. So they chased him out of Philippi and he had to run away. And he ended up in Thessalonica. Now, when Paul got to Thessalonica, it would be really easy for him to think, I know, I'll just do things a bit differently here. I'll just kind of keep my head down a bit. I'll go quiet. So Paul might have been thinking, actually, I think I might want to give up on this whole preaching thing. Maybe I'll just go in for the beach tour today rather than the preaching thing. But Paul says, no, he'd been really brave and he trusted God and God helped him. Now I'm going to read a couple of verses from the Bible. I've actually got a little printout of the International Children's Bible, which is the one that we've been using. So the words will be a bit different to what's in your red Bible, but it's what we heard just now. And Paul said this in verse 1. He said, brothers and sisters, you know that our visit to you was not a failure. Before we came to you, we suffered in Philippi, like I was just saying. People there insulted us. They said horrible things. You know about that. And when we came to you in Thessalonica, many people were against us. But our God helped us to be brave and to tell you his good news. So the wrong way would have been for Paul to go quiet and to go for a trip to the beach. God's way, on the other hand, was for Paul to be really bold and brave and to keep going with telling people about Jesus. So that's what Paul did. Paul was a true Christian preacher, real. No, he wasn't a fake. So he did it God's way. And there are other things that he might have been tempted to do. He might have been tempted to lie and to trick people. Have you ever told a lie? Perhaps because you want things to go a bit easier. Do you know that's on the wrong way side of things? Paul might have said to the people, oh yeah, it's fine for you to keep on worshipping Caesar. That's not a problem at all. You worship Caesar as much as you like. That God doesn't mind about that. That would have been really the wrong way. He wouldn't have got into so much trouble if he'd said things like that. Because lots of people in the Roman Empire loved worshipping Caesar. He wouldn't have had any problems then. It would have been much easier for him. But that wasn't God's way. God's way was he had to tell the truth. He said, you have to turn from those idols to the true and living God. You need to worship the one true God, not all those other idols and fakes. So Paul didn't lie to them. He didn't trick them. He shared the true gospel. Let me read to you the next couple of verses. He said, our message was a message to encourage you. We were not trying to lie. We had no evil plan. We were not trying to trick you. But we speak the good news. Because God tested us and trusted us to do it. When we speak, we're not trying to please men, we're trying to please God who tests our hearts. So the wrong way is to give up and to lie and trick people. God's way is to keep going and to share the true gospel. But you know, there's another wrong way that Paul could have done things. Sometimes you see these people on TV, they say, send me your money and your life will be wonderful. God will bless you, it'll be amazing. And Paul could have been out to get some money. He could have given a really good talk. I bet he was probably really interesting to listen to. And he might have just sort of passed the collection bag around at the end, and then he could go out and have a slap-up meal. He could have a really nice meal. Where do you think he might have gone? I wonder what the ancient equivalent of like somewhere really posh would be, like McDonald's or something like that. If he had the chance to go out and have a really nice meal at the end of the day with all the money that he's made from his speaking. But that would have been the wrong thing to do. Because being a true Christian preacher isn't all about grabbing loads of money, having an amazing car, a private jet, super large house. Going God's way is about giving generously to people, about facing tough things and still loving and caring for people. So listen to what Paul said in verse 5. He said, you know that we never tried to influence you by saying nice things about you. We were not trying to get your money. We had no selfishness to hide from you. God knows that this is true. So he wasn't trying to grab lots of money the wrong way. He was sharing generously. He was the real deal. And if you spot a Christian preacher trying to grab loads of money for themselves, living a lavish lifestyle and not really sharing generously, that's a big warning sign. You ever heard an alarm going off? Sometimes when you burn the cooking, I often do this with the bacon. And it goes beep, 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 beep. And it's much louder than that, isn't it? If you spot a Christian preacher who's grabbing loads of money and has got amazing fast cars and things like that, your little alarm should go off. Beep, 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 beep. Because that's a danger sign. That's not a true Christian preacher. That's a fake. Watch out. Here we go. There's one last thing that would be the wrong way to do it. Now, suppose that Paul had turned up in Thessalonica and he'd found himself a nice deck chair to sit down in, and he put his feet up and he was lying back and he kind of clicked his fingers and said, yes, bring me my Bible, and clicked his fingers again and said, yes, bring me a nice drink of wine, and clicked his fingers again and said, bring me a crowd. That would be a very bossy thing for Paul to do, wouldn't it? Do you ever have bossy people in your life? Perhaps a brother or sister. Maybe you remember them being a bit bossy. Yeah, bossy people aren't much fun to have around. Paul could have been really bossy. I mean, he was an apostle. He was quite important, as things go. He'd been sent personally by Jesus. And so as an apostle, he could have been bossing everyone around. But that would have been the fake way to do it. That would have been the wrong way to do it. Because actually, Paul turned up and he helped people. He served people. He looked after them. He didn't click his fingers expecting everything to happen just for him. He was there to make things better. So there's lots of fakes that we need to watch out for when it comes to Christian preachers, people like Paul, people like, well, what are the true Christian preachers? Can anyone see a Christian preacher in here at the moment? Is that? Oh, me. Yeah, do you know what? As I've been reading this week, it's been quite challenging to me. Because as I'm up in front of you all, it'd be quite easy to try and do it so that you think well of me. So I get lots of praise at the door. Well done, good sermon, well done. That was really interesting. Or it would be easy for me to do it so that I just kind of hide away the difficult bits. I sort of hide away the bits where God wants our lives to change. And that would be a really fake thing to do, to start changing the message and making it all about me. But actually, I'm not the only one in this building and in this church who's involved in teaching. There's a staff team who do various different things. There's lots of home group leaders and children's group leaders. So I wonder, would you be able to spot a fake? This is the first thing that real preachers, they do things God's way. And then there's just one more thing that I want to mention very briefly before we have a song. And it's this, that the real Christian preachers care just like mums and dads. And we've all had mums and dads. Some of them have cared for us better than others. But we've all had mums and dads who've done things for us. And Paul says that when he turned up in Thessalonica, he was a bit like a mum and a bit like a dad in some ways, the way that he cared for the church in Thessalonica. And that helped them to see how real he was. Because when he turned up in Thessalonica, he actually started doing some work. Paul was a tent maker. This last weekend, we were staying in Wales just a few days ago, And there was all that wind. And perhaps you saw some of the photos on the news of the tents that had got blown down in all the wind in Cornwall and Wales and various places like that. They were just kind of collapsed and flat, and poles were broken and things were ripped and they were sticking out in funny directions. It was not good for a wet and windy night. Now, Paul was a tent maker. I don't know whether Paul's tents would have survived the storm or not. But Paul made tents. He kind of sewed together all the bits of fabric and made poles and things like that. And so when Paul turned up in Thessalonica, he would have sat down in a workshop and he would have been making his tents and selling his tents. And as his customers came in, they might have said to him, "Well, what brings you to Thessalonica this week?" And he could have said, "Well, you know what? I'm not just here to make tents. I'm here because I've got this really good news that I'd like to share with you. It's about a new king, Jesus." And so as Paul was busy sewing away, making his tents, he was chatting about Jesus. And as the Christians popped into his shop and they sort of said to him, "What are you up to today, Paul?" "Well, I'm making my tent, but do you know what? God's love is a bit like a tent over us. It protects us and shields us." And so perhaps as Paul was building his tents, he would have been sharing the good news of Jesus and building up other Christians. He was sharing his whole life, because that's one of the things about mums and dads. It's a pretty much a full-time job. I know some people love the opportunity to kind of ship their children off to the grandparents or something like that. Isn't that a wonderfully sort of relaxing moment when you just have a few minutes to yourself without responsibility for children? I think those who are parents or those perhaps who have looked after children in some way know what a relief it is when the children are occupied with something. Well, being a parent is a full-time job, and Paul talks about how he shared his whole life with them. Let me just read a couple of bits. He says, "We were like a mother caring for her little children. Because we loved you, we were happy to share God's good news with you. But not only that, we were also happy to share even our own lives with you. Brothers, I know that you remember how hard we worked. We worked night and day so that we would not burden any of you while we preached God's good news to you." So Paul was sharing his whole life, night and day, full time. He was available for them, ready to help them. And then he talks about being a bit like a father as well, a bit like a dad. He says, "You know that we treated each of you as a father treats his own children. We strengthened you, comforted you, and told you to live good lives for God. It's God who calls you into his glorious kingdom." So Paul was using his words to care for them. He was strengthening them, helping them to keep going. He was comforting them when they felt sad. And he was directing them, showing them way to go, showing them God's way to live. And that was all part of what God's doing. God's calling each of us into his kingdom. And he's using true Christian preachers who are acting a bit like mums and dads sometimes. Even when it's exhausting and full on, a true Christian preacher will be there right, ready to help with the good news of Jesus. So those were some of the ways that Paul said you could spot a fake and spot a real one. A real one will do things God's way. And a real one will care just like mums and dads. So those are two ways that we can spot a fake Christian preacher and a true Christian preacher. And one of the things that a true Christian preacher does is to give us God's word from the Bible. And we're going to sing about that now. So what? What difference does it make knowing that we have a way to tell between true and false preachers? So I'm going to ask Millie to come up and read the last bit of the passage, and then we will have a think about that.
I will continue from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, from verse 13 through to 16. "Also, we always thank God because of the way you accepted his message. You heard his message from us, and you accepted it as the word of God, not the words of men. And it really is God's message, and that message works in you who believe. Brethren, you have been like God's churches in Christ that are in Judea. God's people suffer bad things from the other Jews there, and you suffer the same bad things from the people of your own country. Those Jews killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets, and they forced us to leave that country. They do not please God. They are against all people. They try to stop us from teaching the non-Jews so that they may be saved. But those Jews are adding more and more sins to the sins they already have. The anger of God has come to them at last.
So what? So spot the fake. I need you to be on the lookout. If I start twisting what God's word in the Bible says, and I start hiding away bits of it or telling you things that aren't true, I need you to be on the lookout to spot the fake, because we don't want to have fakes in the pulpit here. It says on the front of this, have you ever seen this? It says on the front, the glorious gospel of the blessed God. That's a quote from the book of 1 Timothy. And that's what should be coming out from the front here, the glorious gospel. But if anyone here starts twisting it or telling you things that aren't in the Bible, we need to be on the lookout for that. We need to spot the fake before they get too far. And I wonder, some of us go on holiday sometimes, don't we? And look for a new church to go to when we're away. And I wonder, would you know how to spot a fake church or a fake preacher? Because there are some out there, and it can be quite misleading if we start listening to fakes rather than listening to the true thing. Or maybe we're helping friends moving to a new area. They want to find a new church. We need to look out for fakes, don't we? People who don't do things God's way and who don't care, like mums and dads do. Those would be the fake things. Now, children, you might end up going to different churches with your parents. Are you asking them to be on the lookout for fakes? Is your dad a good fake spotter? Would your mum be able to spot a fake? It's important that we keep on asking our parents to look out for the fakes as well, because they're really important in helping us to hear the truth from God's word. And what about home group leaders or children's group leaders and youth leaders? Those of us who have those roles in church, are we making sure that we're not being fakes in the way that we do it? Are we doing it God's way, or are we doing it the wrong way? Are we actually caring for the people in our group, in our area, like mums and dads would do for children? Or are we doing it for the wrong reasons? There's some challenges there about spotting the fake. Can you spot a fake? Here's another one. Don't be a fake. I suppose that's what I was just saying, really, for sort of group leaders within the church. Speaking to myself as well, I don't want to be a fake. I don't want to kind of find myself in 10 years' time faking it as a Christian preacher. I want it to be real, in line with what God's way is. So we want to encourage others not to be a fake too. Perhaps you want to encourage your home group leaders or your children's group leaders and say to them, thank you so much for not being a fake. I'm praying that you won't be a fake at all. And make sure you keep on don't being a fake. Be the real thing. Stick with God's way. I'd love you to care for me like a really good mum and dad. So those might be some good things to say to our group leaders. Perhaps they're having a bit of a break over the summer. Perhaps you could drop them a line. Send them a postcard from holiday, or ping them a WhatsApp or an email or something and say, thanks for not being a fake. Please keep at it. We really appreciate it. It's really good for us. So don't be a fake. Spot the fake. And then thirdly, just stick with God's word. This is what Paul was really encouraged about as he saw the Thessalonians. Do you remember he'd had to leave them, and he was writing back to them. And he said, I know you're the real deal because, well, let's listen to what he says. He says in verse 13, we always thank God because of the way you accepted his message. You heard his message from us, and you accepted it as the word of God, not the words of men. And it really is God's message. And that message works in you who believe. So when you pick up the Bible, it's not just a book written by humans. It's God's message. It's God's truth in there. And so that's what sticking with God's word is all about. Sticking with the true message that we've received. Because that's how real Christians grow. That's how real churches are built up. That's where real preachers find their message. And it's a tried and tested message. It worked in Thessalonica. Paul could see how this young church was keeping going. And it had worked in other places as well. Paul mentions the churches in Judea. They'd had a really tough time. Some of their fellow countrymen and women, some of the other Jews who were living in Judea, had been really unkind to the Christian churches there. I wonder if anyone's ever been really unkind to you. Perhaps they said horrible things about you. Perhaps they've really hurt you or made life difficult for you. Perhaps your job has been really tough. Sometimes those things happen. Sometimes those things happen particularly because we're Christians. And I wonder if you can think of someone who's been mean to you because you go to church on a Sunday, and so you can't go to join in with their sporting activity or their party. Or someone who's been really mean to you at school because you go along to Christian Union and they just laugh at you and make fun of you. Or someone in the office who says, you don't really believe all that rubbish, do you? Isn't that really bigoted and horrible and hateful? And people can be really mean because we're Christians sometimes. It happened in Judea, it happened in Philippi, it happened in Thessalonica. It's happening all over the world today, and I dare say that we can think of some examples when it's happened to us. But what's the answer? Well, when you've got a true Christian preacher with you, you've got to help them and be with them in sticking with God's word, the Bible, God's true message. Because this is how God gets to work amongst us. I wonder if you ever thought about that. How does God work amongst us? How does he do it? He does it through his word, the Bible. It says here, you accepted it as the word of God, and it really is God's message, and that message works in you who believe. So God is at work right here, right now. I wonder what God's saying to you. That should be our expectation as we perhaps go along to home group, or go along to our Adventures or Explorers group, or youth group, or come to church on a Sunday. It's not just going through the motions, same old, same old. God's got something special to say to you. I wonder what God's saying to you today, this morning. What does God want you to hear? Is he wanting to reassure you that you're the real thing? That you've really heard the true message from the Bible given by real preachers? And it's okay, even if life is tough, you can keep going, you can stick with God's word because that works within you. Or maybe there are areas where you realize that God's been saying, that looks a bit fake, that area. Like, I know you've got a big smile on the outside, but it looks a bit broken on the inside, and it's not really working properly, and God's saying, that needs to change. I wonder, what is God saying to you this morning? That should be our thing as we make our way to church each Sunday, as we trundle out to home group at the end of a long day at work, as we head down that corridor to the exciting groups. We should be thinking, God, what have you got to say to me today? Because it's God's word which is at work within us. He helps us to keep going so we can stick with God's words. So those are three things to think about as we think about how to spot true Christian preachers. Spot the fake. Watch out when people are doing it the wrong way rather than God's way. Don't be a fake yourself. If you've got opportunities to teach and to share, maybe at home, maybe in a group at church, best of all, stick with God's word. That's how to be avoiding the fakes and sticking with the real deal.